We are continuing chapter 15, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. And they just had their class with Trelawney that Umbridge had observed, do you remember? Mm-hmm. So they just reached their Defense Against the Dark Arts lesson. She, that's Professor Umbridge, was humming and smiling to herself when they entered the room. Harry and Ron told Hermione, who had been in arithmancy, exactly what had happened in divination, while they all took out their copies of Defensive Magical Theory. But before Hermione could ask any questions, Professor Umbridge had called them to order and silence fell. Wands away, she instructed them all smilingly, and those people who had been hopeful enough to take them out sadly returned them to their bags. As we finished Chapter 1 last lesson, I would like you all to turn to page 19 today and commence Chapter 2. Common defensive theories and their derivation. There will be no need to talk. Still smiling her wide, self-satisfied smile, she sat down at her desk. The class gave an audible sigh as it returned, as one, to page 19. Harry wondered dully whether there were enough chapters in the book to keep him reading through all this year's lessons, and was on the point of checking the contents when he noticed that Hermione had her hand in the air again. Professor Umbridge had noticed, too, and what was more, she seemed to have worked out a strategy for such an eventuality. Instead of trying to pretend she had not noticed Hermione, she got to her feet and walked around the front of the row of desks until they were face to face, then bent down and whispered so the rest of the class could not hear, "What is it this time, Miss Granger?" "I've already read Chapter 2," said Hermione. "Well, then proceed to Chapter 3." "I've read that, too. I've read the whole book." Professor Umbridge blinked, but recovered her poise almost instantly. "Well, then, you should be able to tell me what Slinkhard says about counter-jinxes in Chapter 15. "He says that counter-jinxes are improperly named," said Hermione promptly. "He says counter-jinx is just a name people give their jinxes when they want to make them sound more acceptable." Professor Umbridge raised her eyebrows, and Harry knew she was impressed against her will. "But I disagree," Hermione continued. Professor Umbridge's eyebrows rose a little higher, and her gaze became distinctly colder. "You disagree?" said. "Yes, I do," said Hermione, who, unlike Umbridge, was not whispering, but speaking in a clear, carrying voice that had now attracted the rest of the class's attention. "Mr. Slinkhard doesn't like jinxes, does he? But I think they can be very useful when used defensively." "Oh, do you? Oh, you do you?" said Professor Umbridge, forgetting to whisper and straightening up. "Well, I'm afraid it is Mr. Slinkhard's opinion, and not yours, that matters within this classroom, Miss Granger." "But," Hermione began. "That is enough," said Professor Umbridge, and she walked back to the front of the class and stood before them, all the jauntiness she had shown at the beginning of the class gone. "Miss Granger, I'm going to take 5 points from Gryffindor House." There was an outbreak of muttering at this. "What for?" said Harry angrily. "Don't you get involved," Hermione whispered urgently at him. "For disrupting my class with pointless interruptions," said Professor Umbridge smoothly. "I'm here to teach you using a ministry-approved method that does not include inviting students to give their opinions on matter about which they understand very little. Your previous teachers on the subject may have allowed you more license, but none of them, with the possible exception of Professor Quirrell, who did at least appear to have restricted himself to age-appropriate subjects, would have passed a ministry inspection." "Yeah, Quirrell was a great teacher," said Harry loudly. "There was just that minor drawback of having Lord Voldemort sticking out of the back of his head." And this pronouncement was followed by one of the loudest silences Harry had ever heard. And then, "I think another week's detention would do you some good, Mr. Potter," said Umbridge sleekly. The cut on the back of Harry's hand had barely healed, and by the following morning it was bleeding again. He did not complain during the evening's detention. He was determined not to give Umbridge that satisfaction. Over and over he wrote, "I must not tell lies," and not a sound escaped his lips, though the cut deepened with every letter. I don't understand how Umbridge would get more satisfaction out of him complaining. Surely she gets satisfaction out of the fact that he's hurting himself. The very worst part of the second week's worth of detentions was, just as George had predicted, Angelina's reaction. She cornered him just as he arrived at Gryffindor table for breakfast on Tuesday, and shouted so loudly that Professor McGonagall came sweeping down upon the pair of them from the staff table. "Miss Johnson, how dare you make such a racket in the Great Hall?" "But, Professor, he's gone and landed himself detention again." "What's this, Potter?" said Professor McGonagall sharply, rounding on Harry. "Detention? From whom?" "From Professor Umbridge," muttered Harry, not meeting Professor McGonagall's beady, square-framed eyes. "Are you telling me," she said, lowering her voice, so that the group of curious Ravenclaws behind them could not hear, "that after the warning I gave you last Monday, you lost your temper in Professor Umbridge's class again?" "Yes," said Harry, speaking to the floor. "Potter, you must get a grip on yourself. You are heading for serious trouble. 5 points from Gryffindor." "But what, Professor, no," Harry said, furious at this injustice. "I'm already being punished by her. Why do you have to take points as well?" "Because detentions do not appear to have any effect on you whatsoever," Professor McGonagall said tartly. "No, not another word of complaint, Potter. And as for you, Miss Johnson, you will confine your shouting matches to the Quidditch pitch in future, or risk losing your team captaincy." She strode back toward the staff table. Angelina gave Harry the deepest look of disgust. "Sorry, but I want to touch you."
"So sit on your hand and then touch me."
Okay. And stalked away, upon which Harry flung himself onto the bench beside Ron, fuming. "She's taking points off Gryffindor because I'm having my hand sliced open every night? How is that fair, mate? How is that fair? How?" "I know, mate," said Ron sympathetically, tipping bacon onto Harry's plate. "She's bang out of order." Hermione, however, merely rustled the pages on her Daily Prophet and said nothing. "You think Professor McGonagall is right, do you?" said Harry angrily to that picture of Cornelius Fudge obscuring Hermione's face. "I wish she hadn't taken points from you, but I think she's right to warn you not to lose your temper with Umbridge," said Hermione's voice, while Fudge gesticulated forcefully from the front page, clearly giving some kind of speech. Harry didn't speak to Hermione all through Charms, but when they entered Transfiguration, he forgot his anger. Professor Umbridge and her clipboard were sitting in a corner, and the sight of her drove the memory of breakfast right out of his head. "Excellent," whispered Ron as they sat down in their usual seats. "Let's see Umbridge get what she deserves." Professor McGonagall marched into the room without giving the slightest indication that she knew Professor Umbridge was there. "That will do," she said, and silence fell immediately. "Mr. Finnegan, please come here and hand back the homework. Miss Brown, please take this box of mice. Don't be silly, girl, they won't hurt you. And hand one to each student." "Ahem," said Professor Umbridge, employing the same silly little cough she used to interrupt Dumbledore on the first night of the term. Professor McGonagall ignored her. Seamus handed back Harry's essay. Harry took it without looking at him and saw, to his relief, that he managed an A. "Right then, everyone listen closely. Dean Thomas, if you do that to the mouse again, I shall put you in detention." "Most of you have now successfully vanished your snails, and even though who are left with a certain amount of shell have the gist of the spell. Today we shall be..." said Professor Umbridge. "Yes," said Professor McGonagall, turning round, her eyebrows so close together they seemed to form one severe long line. "I was just wondering, Professor, whether you received my note telling you of the date and time of your inspection." "Obviously I received it, or I would have asked you what you were doing in my classroom," said Professor McGonagall, turning her back firmly on Professor Umbridge. Many of the students exchanged looks of glee. "As I was saying, today we shall be practicing the altogether more difficult vanishment of mice. Now, the vanishing spell." "I wonder," said Professor McGonagall in cold fury, turning on Professor Umbridge, "how you can expect to gain an idea of my usual teaching methods if you continue to interrupt me. You see, I do not generally permit people to talk when I am talking." And Professor Umbridge looked as though she had just been slapped in the face. She did not speak, but straightened the parchment on her clipboard and began scribbling furiously. Looking supremely unconcerned, Professor McGonagall addressed the class once more. As I was saying, the vanishing spell becomes more difficult with the complexity of the animal to be vanished. The snail, as an invertebrate, does not present much of a challenge, but a mouse, as a mammal, offers a much greater one. This is not, therefore, magic you can accomplish with your mind on your dinner. So, you know the incantation. Let me see what you can do. How can she lecture me about not losing my temper with Umbridge? Harry said to Ron under his voice. But he was grinning. His anger with Professor McGonagall had evaporated. Professor Umbridge did not follow Professor McGonagall around this class the way she had followed Professor Trelawney. Perhaps she thought that Professor McGonagall would not permit it. She did, however, take many more notes while she sat in her corner. And when Professor McGonagall finally told them all to pack away, she rose with a grim expression on her face. "Well, it's a start," said Ron, holding up a long, wriggling mouse tail and dropping it back into the box as Lavendar was passing it around. As they filed out of the classroom, Harry saw Professor Umbridge approach the teacher's desk. He nudged Ron, who nudged Hermione in turn, and the three of them deliberately fell back to eavesdrop. "How long have you been teaching at Hogwarts?" Professor Umbridge asked. 39 years this December," Professor McGonagall said brusquely, snapping her bag shut. Professor Umbridge made a note. "Very well," she said. "You will receive the results of your inspection in 10 days' time." "I can hardly wait," said Professor McGonagall in a coldly indifferent voice, and she strode off to the door. "Hurry up, you three," she added, sweeping Harry, Ron, and Hermione before her. Harry could not help giving her a faint smile, and he could have sworn he had received one in return. He had thought that the next time he would see Umbridge would be in his detention that evening, but he was wrong. When they walked down the lawns toward the forest for care of magical creatures, they found her with her clipboard waiting for them beside Professor Grubblyblink. "You do not usually take this class, is that correct?" Harry heard her ask as they arrived at the trestle table with a group of captive bow truckles were scrabbling around for woodlice like so many living twigs. "Quite correct," said Professor Grubblyplink, hands behind her back and bouncing on the balls of her feet. "I'm a substitute teacher standing in Professor Hagrid." Harry exchanged uneasy looks with Ron and Hermione. Malfoy was listening with Crab and whispering with Crab and Goyle. He would surely love this opportunity to tell tales on Hagrid to a member of the Ministry. "Hmm," said Professor Umbridge, dropping her voice, though Harry could still hear her quite clearly. "I wonder, the headmaster seems strangely reluctant to give me any information on the matter. Could you tell me what is causing Professor Hagrid's very extended leave of absence?" Harry saw Malfoy look up eagerly. "Afraid I can't," said Professor Grubblyplink breezily. "Don't know anything more about it than you do. Got an owl from Dumbledore. Would I like a couple more weeks' teaching work accepted? That's as much as I know. Well, shall we get started, then?" "Yes, please do," said Professor Umbridge, scribbling upon her clipboard. Umbridge took a different tack in this class and wandered around the students, questioning them on magical creatures. Most people were able to answer well, and Harry's spirits lifted somewhat. At least the class was not letting Hagrid down. "Overall," said Professor Umbridge, returning to Professor Grubblyplink's side after a lengthy interrogation of Dean Thomas, "how do you, as a temporary member of the staff, an objective outsider, I suppose you might say, how do you find Hogwarts? Do you receive enough support from the school management?" "Oh yes, Dumbledore is excellent," said Professor Grubblyplink heartily. "I'm very happy with the way things are run. Very happy indeed." Looking politely incredulous, Umbridge made a tiny note on her clipboard and went on. "And what are you planning to cover with this class this year? Assuming, of course, that Professor Hagrid does not return." "Oh, I'll take them through the creatures that most often come up in Owl," said Professor Grubblyplink. "Not much left to do. They've studied unicorns and nifflers. I thought we'd cover porlocks and neasels, make sure they can recognize crusps and gnarls, you know." "Well, you seem to know what you're doing at any rate," Professor Umbridge said, making a very obvious tick on her clipboard. Harry did not like the emphasis she put on "you," and liked it even less when she next put her question to Goyle. "Now I hear there have been injuries in this class." Goyle gave a stupid grin. Malfoy hastened to answer this question. "And that was me," he said. "I was slashed by a hippogriff." "A hippogriff?" said Professor Umbridge, now scribbling frantically. Only because he was too stupid to listen to what Hagrid told him to do, said Harry angrily. Both Ron and Hermione groaned. Professor Umbridge turned her head slowly in Harry's direction. Another night's detention, I think, she said softly. Well, thank you very much, Professor Grubblyplank. I think that's all I need here. You will be receiving your results of your inspection within 10 days' time. Jolly good, said Professor Grubblyplank, and Professor Umbridge set off back across the lawn to the castle. And I think we'll stop there. I hope you like that, Kitten Boo. You want it all, Kitten Boo. I love you so much. Sleep well, sweetheart.